puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
We are celebrating a milestone on today's Abandoned Manitoba. No big deal. Gordon Goldsborough, what's so special about today's episode?
Today is the 400th episode of the program, and it goes all the way back to the first one in 2015. You know, if anyone had told me over 8 years ago that I'd still be doing these weekly columns, I would have been amazed. But here we are, still going, 400.
Congratulations. That's a big deal.
Thank you.
So what are we talking about on the 400th episode?
Well, our focus here has been on abandonment. That's why it's called Abandoned Manitoba. But going forward, we're going to delve occasionally into other stories in Manitoba history. So today, we're walking the streets of Verdun to talk about its incredible architectural heritage.
I was in Verdun in September for a week, and it was lovely walking down kind of the main street. You do really get a sense of of this different time. Why did you choose Verdun for this walk?
Every time I visit Verdun, I'm always struck by just the abundance, you know, of heritage buildings. And you know, I had to think, well, it's got to be one of the best places in Manitoba. But, you know, I'm a scientist and I'm very rational and, you know, very methodical. And so I thought, there's got to be sort of a scientific way about identifying places like Verdun that have lots of heritage buildings. So I did some calculations. Now, you might question my methods, but what I did was I divided the number of heritage buildings in various Manitoba towns and cities, and I got the list of them from the Manitoba Historical Society inventory. We've been fairly comprehensive at, you know, listing them all. I divided that number by the population of the town in the 2021 census. So, per capita, the top five places for heritage buildings, in order, number one, Carberry. Two, Melitta. Three, Verdun. Four, Minnedosa. And five, Winnipeg Beach. You know, and somebody might say, well, where's Winnipeg in that total? Winnipeg has lots of heritage buildings. Well, it does. But on a per resident basis, it's actually down in the middle of the list. So there you go.
So did you also calculate the bottom five?
Yes, I did. But I don't think we're going to identify them here today. You know, I suspect people might judge those cities and towns as bad places for heritage, when in fact, there may be extenuating circumstances. So we're going to leave the bottom five for a longer discussion another time. Let's go to Verdun.
Okay, I want to get my hands on that list. But yes, let's go to Verdun. Where do we start?
We're going to start our conversation and our walk along the railway tracks, where there is, I believe, one of the most beautiful railway stations in all of Canada. It was built in 1900, and Verdun's CPR station is the only one in Manitoba that is made of fieldstone. You know, in other words, it's a pretty stout building. And it features a complex roof of dormers and beak-like canopies. It's truly magnificent. From there, we head southwest along Nelson Street, where there are numerous 19th and early 20th century buildings on each side of the street. We don't know the full history for some of those buildings because the research remains to be done.
Such as?
Well, one of the buildings we do know a little bit about is the Alexandra Hotel. It's a three-story brick building with a French-style mansard roof. It was built in 1907, and it's still in use as a hotel. We continue along Nelson. We see at the junction with 7th Avenue a building made of red bricks and white stone. Quite an attractive building. And it opened in 1912 as a branch of the Union Bank of Canada. It's been occupied by either banks or law offices for most of its history. And across the street is another brick and stone bank building that began in 1919. It was a branch of the Bank of Commerce and is still a bank today. Beside that bank is a small one-story brick block from 1898. It started out as a grocery, and it later hosted the local Oddfellows, you know, a fraternal organization, and today it hosts the Lions. Next door to the Lions Hall is one of Manitoba's several beautiful post offices, this one dating from 1914. It's a two-story red brick building with a clock tower. Aren't many buildings left anymore with clock towers, I guess because we all carry clocks around. We don't need a tower to tell us the time. And in fact, there are similar post offices in Minnedosa and Morden.
Is it still a post office?
No. Unfortunately, the old Verdon post office has been turned into an apartment block. On the other hand, that's an excellent repurposing that I think ensures the survival of a heritage building, and that's often what makes the difference. Is there some use for the building today? Carrying on along Nelson, we find at the corner of 8th Street, the St. Paul's United Church, an amber brick building from 1901. Oh, and by the way, when we're on the subject of churches, we aren't going to walk along its street, but I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention St. Mary Anglican Church, another beautiful fieldstone structure, and say it's on 9th Avenue.
Where do we go next on our tour?
Well, we walk back to 7th Avenue, and we stop along the way to admire several other two-story brick blocks on the south side of Nelson. And then we head east, where on each side of the street we see another concentration of one- and two-story brick buildings that date from the 1880s and the 1890s. You know, again, in other words, a large concentration of really quite old buildings. We turn on to Wellington Street, and we head west again. We see the Verdon Municipal Building and Auditorium. When it opened in 1912, it contained what I consider kind of an unusual combination. It contained the municipal offices, it had the courtroom, and it had a theater. It was home to the Verdon Dramatic and Operatic Society and the Verdon Orchestra. Today, it's still a performing arts space known informally as The Odd.
And stunning inside, if anyone has ever had a chance to look. Okay, so now what?
Well, we head back to 7th and we see a fairly modern-looking building at the corner with Wellington that is virtually unrecognizable as a 1929 building. It's got a modern facade, so you wouldn't know necessarily that it's almost 100 years old. It's one of the original stores built by Safeway when it first came to Canada in 1929. We talked about early Safeway stores in a previous episode of Abandoned Manitoba. And a couple of doors down 7th is a modest little brick building dating from 1930 that used to enable local telephone service. We've talked about those buildings here before, too. It's a telephone exchange building that provided local phone service.
So most of these buildings seem to be commercial buildings. Are there any heritage homes in Verdon?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of them, too. But, you know, the documentation is not as good as for the town's commercial buildings. But, you know, we have, for example, the Goulding House, a two-story fieldstone house on 9th Avenue that was built in 1893 for physician Francis Goulding. And there's the Frame House on King Street, a two-story brick building from 1888. Built for merchant James Frame. Today, it houses the Verdon Pioneer Home Museum. Did you get a chance to visit it when you were in?
I did, and it's lovely.
Indeed it is. A real gem, and if you ever stop in Verdon, you must check it out. And of course, no discussion of Verdon's heritage buildings would be complete without mentioning the Queen Terrace. This is a one-story brick structure along Queen Street. That's where it gets its name. It was built in 1890 as a rare surviving example of row housing. As far as I know, Queen Terrace is the only specimen outside of Winnipeg except for one in Brandon.
So, Gordon, why does Verdon have such a large number of heritage buildings?
Well, I think the main reason is that many of its buildings are made from fireproof materials, like brick and stone. So they are less likely to be destroyed. But there are other reasons, too. I think one of them being the people there simply perceive the value of their heritage and therefore don't strive to tear it down when they get the chance. Our tour today has touched on some of the highlights, but if listeners are interested in seeing all of the heritage buildings in Verdon, well, then please go and check out the interactive map on the Manitoba Historical Society website. It's accessible at mhs.ca/map2, the number 2. And there you can find detailed descriptions and photos of over 30 buildings. And meanwhile, I do have a suggestion for the good folks in Verdun.
Ooh, what's your suggestion?
Well, a few weeks ago, I had an opportunity to visit the Arizona city of Williams. It's near the Grand Canyon. Williams has a wonderful main street lined with numerous heritage buildings. In fact, it reminded me a lot of Verdun. And on the exterior of most of those buildings was a small brass plaque that gave a bit of the building's history. You know, it's a great way for tourists like me to learn about a community's heritage. And I think every city and town should do something like this. If the cost of making metal plaques is too high, and I realize, you know, making brass plaques might be a kind of cost prohibitive, well, you could even put up a simple sign with a QR code, you know, that would link to information on web page. You know, we discussed that whole idea a few weeks ago when we talked about QR codes, and then we talked about, of course, recently Winnipeg parks. Well, Verdun, you know, you have so much great architectural heritage. Why not install signs to brag about it? Oh, and by the way, there are other Manitoba towns with lots of interesting buildings, and we will talk about some of them in a future episode of Abandoned Manitoba.
I fully endorse your QR crusade on Manitoba. I think it's such a great idea just to get people educated, and an easy way to do it too.
Well, you know, and I did send, in following your suggestion, I did send a letter to the mayor of Winnipeg, Scott Gillingham, and I got a very nice reply, not an automated one. It was actually written by a human being, which is always a nice sign. And they said they would take it under advisement.
Okay, so keep us posted then.
I will, yes.
Gordon, what is up for our 401st episode?
Well, next Sunday will be a significant day in my life. And it got me thinking about other events that happened on that day, the 18th of February. And so next week, I'm going to enumerate some of the things that happened here in Manitoba on the 18th of February.
Gordon, thank you so much.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.